Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One-on-one in the nation's capital here on Overtime. Shout out to the Paulson family. Young Lincoln, huh? Boy, that's a good move, man. Grant's good papa. Good papa. Ran into him at a Nats game with his son. And love seeing these guys in our business taking the kids out. You have access and expose them to it. It's nothing like being at a pro game as a kid. It's way over your head, but it's so exciting.
I agree.
I got to go to a couple of games as a youth, and everything was around the church. If the church had a bus and we went, we got to go. If not, didn't go. And so to have season tickets in your family, to me, is unfair. I can't even imagine what that would be like as a kid. I mean, that's a great, great privilege to have. And the number one thing is a healthy birth, because none of it is automatic and none of it is guaranteed. So good for the Paulson family. Very happy for Grant. Big, big fan of his work. So that's...
It's his fourth kid.
Yeah. No, he's active.
I know.
I mean, he's active. I mean, you can't hate to
he's
mad at him. I understand.
He's a guy, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, he's also... He's a hunter. He's out hunting, man, providing. So...
Yep.
Good provider, go home, knock yourself out, man. It's a beautiful thing, because it all depends. But I'll tell you what, having gone through having kids and then having an empty place as opposed to kids around, nothing beats them being at the age where they were dependent upon you. That's the most fun, because they can't do crap without you. Can you take me? Can I go? I need. And that's cool. And when that's gone, it's empty. It's done. They're gone. And you want them to be gone. You know, I don't want no grown-ass man hanging around my house. Get out and do your thing. Now, if I had a daughter, I'd be a whole different dude. But with knuckleheads, you got to go. Go do you.
Yeah, I wonder that's how my parents feel. I know my dad's listening to us right now.
Well, you're not living. You still eating his food?
Yeah, so I just graduated, so I moved back.
Are you
in.
Serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Pops.
I know.
Pops is a lot. Oh, my God. Well, how much longer are you going to then freeload off your family?
I'm thinking like March.
Okay. So at least you have a plan.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, Doc, I can't like, you know, have a girlfriend or get a girlfriend and then have living with my parents, or, you know, go on dates with girls and be like, oh, I still live with my parents.
I hope your parents aren't that lenient. I hope they keep that standard high. First of all, we're going to have to do an operation. Not today. I didn't know this. A man with your skill set is still in the basement with his parents. My God.
Come on. I just graduated. Yeah, you know, in this market, everyone's moving back with their parents.
Yeah, no, I know. Believe me. They'll hate it when you're gone. All I can tell you is that. It won't be their happiest day, because you get in the habit. Parenting is, that's the habit about it. It's about the responsibility that comes with it. And also just being around them is always cool. This football season, I think I heard the fellas yesterday saying we were 10 days from camp. If that's the case, then we should be 9 today. And, man, that brings back horrifying memories when you get down to the last week. The season may not seem long to people that aren't involved in it, but it's a long haul. And the worst week is the first week, because oftentimes you leave in an environment. If you don't live here, you're somewhere else. And the weather, you know, you are about what the weather is. we used to get to go to Carlisle. I feel bad for any group that doesn't get to go away to camp. I know teams probably love the convenience of being home. It's obviously maybe less expensive. But no bonding is as tight of a bonding as it when you're somewhere else. You're on the road. And I'll never forget those Carlisle, those bunks, Dickerson Hall, the school, the Custard Place, Rillo's, the restaurants, things of that nature. You just live, and that's what you got. In a community that doesn't get to keep you long, but they love you a long time while you're there. And that is something really special. I've never thought it was a good idea to be here, but again, I understand why they are. And I can't wait for the scrimmage. I can't wait, and I'm glad it's the Ravens. I am so glad that we get to go against a group that I respect them. Their football IQ is enormous, and they understand that it's a physical game. And I love the way they practice. I'm a big fan. And they're under a lot of pressure. You know, people in our area go, well, when are the Ravens going to get punched their way through? What's your take on the Ravens?
They need to win a Super Bowl is what Lamar needs to do. That's my take.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree, but I think that it's not that easy.
It's not that easy.
Especially.
And honestly, the Bills need to win before them.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, man, the Bills and the Chiefs.
You know, I was thinking.
Murder's Row.
Last week, we were talking about rivalries in sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if the Bills were able to beat up on the Chiefs a little bit, you know, that maybe created some tension between the two. But the Chiefs have won every single time when it actually matters.
I know. You know what? It is a mini rivalry, but to me, it can't be a rivalry if one team wins every time.
No. And that's Virginia Tech and UVA.
And let me tell you what, having been proud enough to have done, as a broadcaster, live UVA Tech, who is frosty, man. I mean, Tech was just like tapping that tail.
Was that with Beamer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that was before I got to school.
Yeah.
We had Justin Frente.
Doing Tech games was such a fun thing because Sandman, because their atmosphere is awesome.
It is.
Home game at Tech, sign me up. Sign me up. Same thing, West Virginia. Mountaineers, sign me up.
Now, I will say,
sign me up.
The last 2 years as a student have been disappointing. Because you go there, enter Sandman, you know, you're there for the entrance, and half the student body leaves because you're about to lose 42-17.
Well, it's hard to find a legend. It's hard to find people to get it done. But once it's been done once, it's a sin for it not to be continued. But, you know, trends change, young people. But I don't know, because, again, I'm not as closely involved in it anymore.
Right.
But it was a highlight for me. There were just places you can go that really embody what college football is like. And to me, there is no substitute. There is no equal.
I agree.
For college football at the right atmospheres. The one thing, my biggest question for the DMV, and I've never been able to solve it, I can't figure it out, is why the University of Maryland home games with Mike Locksley, you got a coach who gets it. Now, momentum's picking up, and why that place is not sold out on Saturdays when high school football is so prevalent, it has meaning, it's a gold mine of talent, and it's just, I'm blown away by it. I'm blown away by it. And so you go to Charlottesville, and it's been up and down, but there have been the student body activity. I've been in all these venues doing games for a living. And I'm just telling you, if they would get behind Mike and that group and ring that play like they do for the hoops and everything else, soccer, everything else. Game changer. Game changer. Because you can't replace atmosphere. And you can't recruit at a morgue, at a funeral. You just can't recruit. It's hard. Hard. But that atmosphere, and I haven't been to Tech in years, but if they blew that, if they no longer have what I experienced, shame on them.
Because
it was a gold mine. Huh?
They have some of it. Like, I will say, like, every the student body goes to the game. You know, it's never not sold out. The problem is that when it gets to the fourth quarter, they're either playing Wofford and they're winning by 50 or losing to NC State by 30.
Right. Yeah.
There's no in between. I mean, like, when I was a freshman, we played UNC. UNC was ranked 10. Mm-hmm. Everyone stayed for the game. We end up beating them. Same thing with the Notre Dame. We end up losing that. Notre Dame, but everyone stayed for the game because it's close. Yep.
Well, you know, think about what now with Saban and UNC, another really cool atmosphere for football when it's packed the right way. And NC State and the fairgrounds, I loved it. I mean, ACC football did not get its due. And then Clemson was just turning into a monster. Having experienced that and doing games, they get it. They understand it. Death Valley. The Yellow Jackets were good because Ralph was there in the beginning when I was doing games and he went to Maryland. But, yeah, the home venue, college is my favorite of all. It's hard to match it. But it takes everybody being involved. And that's why the alumni are so important. And that's why when we're talking about pros, the uniform thing, it matters in college because you like to feel like you're a part of it, and it looks like when you were in school. Maryland's the only people I know that can flip that around and have everybody still have all hands on deck because they're like Washington. They're the Liberace of college football uniforms.
Right.
Like Washington is. Liberace. You just so many different variables, so many different colors. So many different schemes, so many different this, so many different that. I go, my God, give me Penn State.
I know you just
blue and white.
You just talked about Clemson. What do you expect from Dabo this year? Because they got LSU week one.
Yeah, Dabo, his first year, we were there doing the games, and everything he said he was going to go after, he did it, and that's hard to do. But again, they have their. They got a lot of money. It's important to them. Football is just not a sport. It's religion. That's the difference. Just like it used to be here. And that's what made this place collegiate. I always referenced this place as collegiate when I was playing because it was. That's what we had on the other teams. We had a collegiate environment. We had downtown dressed up with banners. Reston, Tyson, where they were banners. You don't see banners in pro cities. You did here. This why this was such a beast, and they ruined it. Them idiots, the con men, and people that just, and they ruined it. And that's why now it's so refreshing, because this is just the tip of the spear. You tried to resurrect the dead from 30 years, and the fan base, and just think of this. You wouldn't know this because you're a toddler. There's a quarter of the fan base that will never come back.
Yeah.
Because of the name.
Yeah.
They will never come back.
Now the thing
And so I just want these kids who are doing a hell of a job to feel the thrust of burgundy and gold horsepower. Because they haven't felt it. You think that's nothing compared to what this community can do. We had people meeting us at the airports at 4 a.m. in the morning. Cars with lights on all the way from the airport to the facility. Are you kidding me? They have no idea. And that's the thing that's so frustrating for those nitwits that were here. They don't respect tradition. And now they're turning the corner. So I'm hopeful.
We'll
see what happens.
Well, this is something. We have to go to break soon. Okay. But I think you'll be happy to hear that at school, because of Jaden Daniels, every Sunday, the whole bar would be filled with Commander jerseys. So at least they're hitting on the new generation.
No, you're right. The toddlers, are all in, and that's all they've seen. And I don't blame them for not being in. Who the hell follows a team in last place damn near every season?
Yeah, especially when you're 14, you kind of bandwagon, and that's just normal.
Absolutely, and I'm not mad at any of you at all. I get it. But even Linnell, who's Big L's 27, he's never seen success. That's a long period of time to suck.
Yep. You see a lot of Ravens fans in Northern Virginia. It's shocking.
Why wouldn't you?
Because they win.
It's like the Oriole Nation. When Orioles were good, the Orioles fell off the map. And then this little just wagering right now for fans. And that's why the Nats have to be on their P's and Q's. And now that they're going to hopefully run the business like a money-making enterprise and focus on players, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, to just get a sponsor on your jersey, man, that's slow. Are you serious? So sometimes I wonder, is it sabotage or not? Let's go to break on that. 116 in the nation's capital. DOC and the Buckeye.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll be back. Welcome back. DOC, the Terp / Buckeye. Wes on mic, and we have apology to one of the original canines, Jonesy, hustle back with me. Anthony, in the District of Columbia. Welcome.
Thanks, Doc. I got a question for you about what I think is the biggest crutch in team sports in America, and that's distractions. Now, so this is just from an outside perspective. I've never played nothing like that, so you correct me if I'm wrong. So we often hear about someone on a team gets in trouble for whatever. And then we hear that it becomes a distraction because the other players on the team have to answer questions about what may or may not have happened. But from the outside looking in, I'm thinking you can't compartmentalize a 5-minute press session and then go about your business for the rest of the day, the night, and into the following morning. Am I missing something?
No, it's called being a professional. If you ask these people that can't answer questions, do they want to be paid? They all want to be paid. You have to have the same respect for the public that has an interest in what you do and what you say. Without the public, where's the sport?
Right, but what I'm saying is, where is the distraction? What are you being distracted from by answering these questions?
Well, questions that are interpreted by the public certain ways could offend teammates, front office. You never know who is not pleased with what comes out of your mouth. But yet everybody wants you to be authentic. They want to know what's going on the inside. But it becomes a problem if you cross a line. There's lines in all sports, all business, in the society. There's certain things you can say and can't say.
Okay, that part is true. But just a generic question. So Doc Walker was caught speeding down 66 the other day and got arrested. Mm-hmm. I get asked the question, so how do you feel about Doc getting... Well, Doc is a grown man. He knows better than to be speeding. He'll take care of what he needs to take care of, and everybody will move on. Questions are
well,
over.
Could have got a 911 distress call that somebody was breaking into your crib and doing something. There could be all kind of questions or answers for it. until you get to the bottom of to the truth.
I hear you. I was just the reason I bring it up is you hear distractions all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking, okay, what am I missing?
You're not missing anything, but it's just even politics has ruled national security topics. But everybody has a set of guidelines and rules they go by. You don't get to get in somebody's life just because you're a fan. Everybody has levels and limits.
No, I get that. I totally understand that. It's just, like I said, players, I guess the word distraction is what irks the hell out of me. It's not a distraction. It's easy to say, I'm not in that man's business. You have to ask him and move the hell on. Nothing about that question is preventing you from doing your job for the rest of the day. I guess that's my basic premise. You got
five minutes
out of the day.
You're assuming that. You don't know that because you've never been on their side of the ledger.
Right. That's why.
Because
that's
people
why I'm
talk.
Asking.
It's a specialized area, and I would say to you, it's all based on that instance. I don't think you group it. I agree with you, but how much do you want to know? How much do you have a right? Are you paying for any of this? Are you just nosy?
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your question. No, I can't do it without the question, Slim. I appreciate that. It is 1:27 in the nation's capital. And Wesley, shall we go to break, my lad? Because I don't think Jonesy's back. You want to get Chris on quickly.
Yeah, we can get Chris.
All right, Christopher, on the road again. Dallas Toll Road for that. I remember when that was a quarter. I throw up every time I get on one of them now because I remember when it was a quarter.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I hear you. It's like almost $10 sometimes. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call, Doc. I was chatting with us earlier. Real quick, I want to give you a shout-out, man, for keeping things alive for us on the radio on the weekends. I go back to the days of Doc and Al and have some fun
way back.
Listening to you.
Way back, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Al's been on with us, Dan Miller, all the old partners, man, the guys have come on, and it's been great. And it is I consider it, it's a high-Q audience because the working world gets a chance to let his hair down, and so I love it. It's a different community, but I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was just calling about, I heard the previous segment about Maryland football, and I'm not an alum, but my kids have grown up in this state, and we met at a grassroots championship game at Landon High School.
GYFL, Mike Anderson. Mike's on the comeback, too, so don't be, he's a hell of a dude, man. He's battling life, and he's winning. And I was honored, man, to be a part of grassroots. And a hell of a, I think there's, my God, last I checked, it was about 25 players on the Terps roster that were a part of grassroots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my second oldest played with some of them. He played with a couple guys that are in, my kid went through Quince Orchard and then flipped to rugby. But, you know, it kind of speaks towards, you know, what you were saying is that football is huge here, and there's a ton of talent here. And I remember Paterno used to come down to Quince Orchard High School and recruit kids. Like, he'd go to New Jersey before Rutgers really started getting on the map with Chiano and people before him, you know?
Yep.
And the kids would leave. But, I mean, I've been to Maryland football games, and, yeah, the students exit early depending on what's the games going on. But they do a good job filling up their section. You know, and it's Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and been to these games. Those are the biggest games of the year, including, you know, for attendance. But I don't know if it's the alumni or not, you know. Like, they're just not getting around the team and supporting it. But I agree with what you're saying. Loxley's a hell of a coach. I got a chance to meet him. He's a hell of a guy. He does a great job recruiting kids. He's keeping kids in state. And maybe it's just the attendance got to catch up with what's going on the field. Now, they've had some bumps in the road, but I hope he stays and builds his program. And
well, see, that's the difference. You just explained the fan base. It's about, you got to win first to get them, then they fake. Because the Cleveland Browns, to me, are the number one fan base, damn near in all the sports. Because they never, ever, ever lose the velocity, and they don't match it with wins. It's the crowd that leads it. Appreciate you going, man. Colin, be all safe on the roads, man, on the toll road. Yeah, if you got to win this new society, you got to win first to come out, then you fake as a $3 bill. Because the Cleveland Browns, for my money right now, are second to none. We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Terry McLaurin, because I've been watching him since 2017. I want him here, Doc. He's earned it. He has earned to get paid and stay in Washington.
Well, I don't argue with you. I just refuse to be lured into the agent's net. And by that, they're just simply negotiating.
Also, Laremy Tunsil. I know we talked about that before the show. You know, I got to see him. You know, I watched the Texans. He had a terrible time protecting CJ, and now he's here in D.C.
Yeah, I can admit he's in my really super talented category. I'm hoping he just doesn't want to settle for being a Pro Bowler. I would hope that he'd have aspirations of being a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
And if he does that, then we got lucky. Because he's going to have to grind that, because his reputation is so-so. So for him to put on a gold jacket, he not only had to clean up his act, but he's got to commit himself to getting better. And so that's why some of you may not understood the stance I took when he didn't come to something he didn't have to come to. I know he don't have to come to anything. But if I were with a new team, I would have wanted to show them I'm a leader, not a follower.
Exactly. And he hasn't done that.
Hadn't done it. And he's so good that I think he might end up being one of those guys that just settles for being really good and being better than most because he's a Pro Bowl talent. I see him for being more. But if he don't see it, what difference does it make?
Well, does he want the D.C. fan base to come after him? Because that's what the Houston Texans fan base did last year.
Dude, when you're making the kind of money he made, who cares? What does he care? Y'all ain't going to touch him. All you're going to do is talk. So if you can't put no hands on him, he's already showed you didn't give a damn. When he had a chance to show up and break a narrative, he gave that narrative the finger.
I guess so.
And if he's a badass and protects that blind side, you know what? He'll get away with it. Because what we want, you want a Boy Scout or you want Trent Williams? You want Trent. When I say Trent, I mean they can play at that high level.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he can play now. The boy, he's serious. I just thought I want him to be a Hall of Famer. That's me. He don't give a damn about what I say. I don't affect him. But if I was in that organization, and I know they think very highly of him, but nobody could convince him to want more for himself, that's disappointing. But he ain't been around the staff that long. I'll give him time.
You have to.
Well, you got to get better. Because Philly don't give a damn about you.
Nope.
All right, so let's get that straight. You big, we love you, but they don't give a damn about you. Because they think they can physically stick the ball down your throat. And they're not afraid of your pass rush.
So you're worried that
that's
he might
be content. That's a dose of reality. Huh?
You're worried that he might be content just who he is.
I'm not worried about anything. Because he don't affect my bottom line 1 second. But I would love for this fan base that's been tortured and guys like yourself who's never seen anything special out of them, I want to be at a parade with you. I want you to experience what it's like to be a champion. And we need him to do it. And if he don't give a damn about it, then it's not going to happen. I wonder how many days it's from full contact. That's what I want to know. I've seen enough jumping jacks. I want to know when it's mano a mano pass rush style. Toothpick from Fort Worth. He'll be checking on the Kansas City Chiefs as well. How are you? Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, Doc. Doc, I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I told Wesley, I said I'm about to talk about him. I almost fell when he said the easiest rush was the New York Giants. He's young, Doc. He's young.
Yeah,
you
I
don't
am.
Understand.
I am. You got me there.
No.
Look, we applaud yeah. him. We applaud him for his honesty. But we know the youngest in charge is Toby Altizer. And now Toby's 26. The former, the author of it is 27.
Right.
This kid's a toddler. Are you 22 yet?
Yeah, I just turned 22.
He's just turned 22. So the fact that we're even acknowledging him at all is
right.
good for him.
Thank you.
Because I'm telling you what, I've gone further in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone fast forward at his age.
Right. Right.
But he's such a good dude. He's not obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like exactly. the original
youngest
in charge.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the fact that, you know, he threw it out there that the Giants was, it told us already without even asking, you know, his age. But the New York Giants are getting better quietly.
By the minute. I'm petrified because they have – the hardest thing to get is an anchor that requires you better put two people – they got it in Lawrence.
Yep.
That's the hardest part of the puzzle. As much money as we've spent here, you cannot show me a time other than when Payne was up for that contract when he was a lunatic that required two people pretty much 80% of the time.
Yeah, ain't it funny? Ain't it funny how when it's contract time, they unblockable?
I ain't mad at it.
It's crazy.
He's smart.
It's crazy.
Because if they dumb enough to pay him and not get the results, that ain't his fault.
Yeah.
It ain't his fault.
Doc, you're right.
I ain't mad at him.
But we got some monster defensive lines in the NFC East, and I'm gonna go ahead and rank them for you, the way they should be ranked. All right.
Yeah. You know what? You hear this, Wes? You can tell this man runs his own podcast, right?
I'm here. I'm trust me. I'm
first
taking rank notes.
Podcast. Okay. Good. Check it out. Go ahead on.
So I'm gonna bring it on for you, Doc. Until further review, which means until this upcoming football season, the Washington Commanders defensive line is absolutely the fourth best defensive line in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's going to be the New York. It could be 2A, 2B. I'm going to put it that way. 2A, 2B. The New York Giants, I'm going to say, is 2B. That means that there's a whole space between the Washington Commanders and the New York Giants. Like, 3 is void. 2A would be the Dallas Cowboys. And number one, of course, is the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Until the kickoff for this season, and then we'll review it again next year. But there's no way that the Giants are fourth. No way. They got too many things happening up there. They got some young guys. You got the anchor. Then you got your boy coming off the edge from Oregon. he only shows up versus the Washington Commanders.
That's right.
Gets all of his sacks.
You're right.
Gets all of his sacks then.
You observe it.
So,
yeah,
so there's no way to do it.
But against us, he's a werewolf against us.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Doc. So, I don't know.
That's good stuff.
Wes, you might need to go back and watch some film, watch some games, and then go back and reevaluate who you got at fourth place.
I know. I've been watching too much Ohio State film.
Were you too hard on him, Toothpick? He's a toddler. He's 22. Well, I'm so happy that he's at least dedicated his life to this, and he's not he's not out doing something crazy. So, you know, give him a break. All right, man, we got to roll. That is Toothpick and the First String Podcast. Check it out. It's awesome. Every once in a while, the old guy gets a chance to come on there and talk a little trash. So it is good. It is 1:55 in the nation's capital. Let's step aside. Get ready to go full attack mode as we go into the 2 o'clock hour. And that means Donna Hopkins talking Commanders.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.